this year. So he's going to give us a talk about sleep, bettering your sleep, sleep patterns, and all that. So I'm going to be passing out the sign-in sheets. Just circle or initial next to your name.
Ready?
Yep.
Can you guys in the back hear me okay? Okay, good. You know, in a previous life, I used to be a college professor, and I would give lectures in big halls like this. And back then, students were 18 to 20 years old, and they still wouldn't come fill up the front row of seats. So nothing changes, I guess. We're going to talk today about sleep. Importantly, we're going to give you a protocol on how you can sleep better, you know, starting tonight if you implement some of the things that I'm going to talk about today. We'll also talk about what constitutes a good night's sleep, and that'll kind of be the beginning part of my presentation today, and then we'll end with the things that you can do to sleep better starting tonight and more consistently, not just one night a week. A couple of things before I get started here. Patrick has a copy of these slides. They're available in a PDF format, so if you'd like the notes, reach out to him, and he's welcome to distribute them anywhere he'd like. The other thing to mention is I'm recording the audio of my presentation today, and I'll have this synced up with the slides, and it'll be available to you guys and post it on our website in a couple of days, and you'll be able to go and download the audio and watch the video at your leisure, or pass it around to coworkers who were maybe taking a nap at their desk and couldn't hear the sleep talk. So every time I give a talk like this, I start with a quote, and I try to get a quote that's appropriate for the topic. And this quote comes from one of my favorite books that's no longer in print, but you can find it in the libraries or maybe at half-price bookstores, something like that. But the quote is this: after all, the light is seductive. The longer we stay up, the more we learn. That's why Americans are the brightest and the best, as well as the sickest people in the world. So they're not really beating around the bush with this quote. And this quote, I don't know if you can read it from back there, but this quote comes from a book called Lights Out, Sleep, Sugar, and Survival, published in 1999, I think. And if you get a hold of the notes, you'll see the reference to it there. Before I get into all the sleep-related information, why should you listen to what I have to say and take anything to heart or take it with a grain of salt? So let me give you a little bit of background on me, and then you can decide from there whether what I'm talking about is important or valid. So in terms of my education, I have a PhD in physiology and statistics from the University of Houston. I graduated, I don't know, 99, I think, or 98 or 99. When you get a PhD, you finish all your coursework, and then when you do your dissertation is when you're done, but you're always working at that time, so things kind of, after a few years, like it has been for me, things kind of get foggy. In terms of work, I worked at NASA, just right up 45 from here, for several years in the Space and Life Sciences Division. Left NASA and took a job at the University of Houston again as a college professor and researcher, and got tired of working for the government and started this company 13 years ago in August, next month, and we're the Health Performance Institute. In terms of personal information, Sunday was my 24th wedding anniversary. We have two daughters. One just graduated from high school, and she's going to college. If you've ever sent a kid to college, you know that you know my experience that I'm going through right now. It's like I wish she could leave for college tomorrow, because she's old enough and mature enough to get out of the house. And then my youngest is a sophomore. Will be a sophomore this coming year. So when it comes to sleep, it's a big topic, and frankly, I've been talking about sleep for about 13 or 14 years, as it relates to health and how we can improve our sleep and sleep better. But I would say in the last 5 years, it's become more of a mainstream topic for people to talk about in terms of we're starting to realize how important sleep is to our health. Most of us, and I'll have some statistics up here in just a few seconds to support this, whether you know it or not, maybe inherently you do know it, but almost all of us are under a significant amount of sleep deprivation at any one particular point in time. The question is why? Well, there could be any number of reasons, and when we talk about how you can sleep better, we'll address a lot of those reasons here today. I'm sure it's not the case here, but maybe you have some people have stressful jobs and they take the stress home and they don't know how to deal with it or don't know how to handle it and have a hard time getting to sleep at night because that's a major blockade to allowing us to get to sleep and get a good night's rest. And so we're doing things once we get home from work that aren't conducive to helping us get a good night's sleep. And we're doing these things not knowing that they're interrupting our ability to get to a good night's sleep. So we have a lot of confusion around what we're supposed to do to have a good night's sleep and be rested, and so that when we wake up in the morning, we feel good. So you can just imagine, you know, you've probably experienced this, maybe not often enough, but you've experienced when you've had a really good night's worth of sleep and you wake up in the morning and feel like, you know, your head's clear, you've got a lot of energy, and you feel like you could do a lot of things. It would be nice if you could feel like that almost every day, right? And so what we'll talk about today here in a few minutes is how you can experience that on a regular basis. But what we're first going to talk about is, and we'll end up so where you're not falling asleep either in here or at your desk or most importantly, not in your car when you're driving around. The first thing I'm going to put up on the screen on the next slide is I'm going to have you answer some questions. And you just answer them mentally, just the yes or no questions. And when you answer these questions, this will tell you whether or not you're sleep deprived. And it's not that this needs to be an issue every once in a while. And you also need to answer those when it comes to a regular basis. So if, for example, you answer yes to all of the questions that I've got coming up, and it's once every 2 months, probably not an issue. But if it's an everyday thing, then you need to address it. So after we get through the questions, we're going to talk about what constitutes a good night's sleep, probably the most important thing to get out of today outside of how we can fix the problem. And then we're going to talk about some disturbing statistics and why we're sleep deprived before we get into how we fix it. So basically, four questions that you need to answer. Can you guys read these all the way in the back? Are they legible back there? Okay. So the four questions, if you answer yes to these on a regular basis, that means you're not sleeping enough at night. You hear a lot of people talk about how important naps are to your health. Well, if you're not sleeping enough at night, that means you're getting tired in the middle of the day. So if you take a nap or if you have to take a nap, I'm not saying that naps are bad, but naps are an indication that you're not sleeping enough at night. Maybe one of your goals should be to work to where you don't have to take a nap. Do you need an alarm clock to wake up? Now, some of us can wake up without an alarm clock even though we're sleep deprived, mainly because our body is into that routine of waking up at the same time. A separate deal. Do you need coffee or your soda or something like that to get going? Right down the street from my house is a Sonic drive-in. That drive-in has a huge sign that says teachers get a $1 44-ounce root Coke every morning if they want it. You should see the drive-through line starting at about 7 a.m. There's about 20 cars always in line there. And then finally, if you're tired for 2 or 3 hours after waking up, you know, you get up at 5 or 5:30, take a shower, get in your car, drive to work. Depending on where you go, that could be an hour's drive, and then you get to work and you're still tired. You know, you've been up for 2 or 3 hours. You shouldn't be, but if you are, these are all indications that you're not sleeping enough at night. and that you need to focus on how you can get maybe not necessarily more sleep or longer sleep, but better quality sleep for sure. What we're going to do is we're going to focus on the segment in the last 2 or 3 hours before you get to bed. Because that's where the behaviors that we do have the biggest impact on our sleep each night. The next thing is, what constitutes a good night's sleep? Well, if you look at, this is a really busy slide, and I'm going to spend a few minutes discussing all that's on it. If you look over here on the right, that's a one individual sleep cycle. Now, your body needs to go through 4, 5, or maybe 6, but generally 4 or 5 of these each night to make up a good night's sleep for you. Now, one of these cycles is anywhere from 1.5 to 2 hours. So if you need 4 of these at 1.5, or if you need 5 of these at 2 hours each, most people, 99% of the population, are going to need between 6 and 10 hours of sleep. Now, who's the math whiz in here that can tell me what's halfway between 6 and 10? 8. And that's where this number comes from, that this idea that we all need 8 hours worth of sleep. If you can go back and remember the questions that I had a couple of slides ago, if you answer no to those questions and you're sleeping 6.5 hours each night, then you don't need 8 hours of sleep. But if you're sleeping 7.5 hours a night and you still answer yes to naps and yes to feeling tired after getting up, then you probably need more sleep, or at least better quality sleep. So this idea that we all need 8 hours of sleep is just convenient because it's halfway between 6 and 10 on these sleep cycles. Now, if we go back up here to the sleep cycles, I don't know if you can see the colors, the various colors on the segment on the cycle, but there's green, red, and blue. And green is half of the cycle, and then the other half is split equally between red and blue. And if you look over on the left, that table corresponds to the various portions of the cycle. And if you look at the right-hand column on the table, it says melatonin. Melatonin is our main sleep hormone. Many of you probably have tried it over the counter or at least heard of it to help you sleep better at night. But the colors represent on the cycle from the table, they represent how concentrated melatonin is in our system. On the right-hand side, where it's green, that is a light portion of a sleep cycle. And then as we go through that particular cycle, and as we get towards the bottom here, melatonin begins to build up. And as it gets more and more concentrated, we're going to get into a deeper sleep, which is what the red portion of the sleep cycle is. And we kind of go through that again with melatonin building up more and more and more, and then we end up in the blue segment of a sleep cycle. The blue segment of the sleep cycle is what we refer to as REM sleep. It's really deep sleep. What you have probably heard, and this part is true, the REM part of our sleep is the most important part of our sleep. So for every individual sleep cycle, REM sleep is only 25% of it, but it's the most important part. Because that's when we're in the deepest part of sleep, and that's when our body is at its busiest from a metabolic perspective. And I'll talk more about that in a little bit when we talk about strategies to sleep better. What we do is we go through these individual cycles while we're sleeping. I don't know if you've ever been at home and, you know, the phone rings at 2:30 in the morning. You answer it, and sometimes you don't even know where you are. You don't, maybe in the next morning, you don't even remember answering the phone. Well, that's because the phone went off or rang when you were in a really deep part of your sleep cycle. Or there could be other nights when, you know, just a leaf rubbing against the window wakes you up. And that's because you're in a light portion of a sleep cycle. And so we're going through these throughout the night. And we want to go through four or five of these each night so that we can make sure that our body gets rested while we're sleeping, which is what's supposed to happen, so that when we wake up tomorrow, we feel refreshed, energetic, and ready to go. So the question is, how do we do that? Well, the way we're doing things now is not how we do that. If so many of us are sleep deprived and walking around tired, we're obviously not doing something correctly. So what's going on with this whole system that leads this to happen? Well, if you look here, all the way on the left, we have sundown, melatonin, and sleepy. And then you've got this green and gray bar here. You know, we wear watches on our wrist. We have a cell phone at our immediate disposal. We have clocks on the wall. We have all kinds of ways and devices that tell us exactly what time it is and what we should be doing at specific times. Our body doesn't have that luxury. So when it comes to falling asleep at night, our body has to rely on something that's like a clock, but something that it can't look at. So our body uses this thing called circadian rhythms. And as the sun goes down, when it comes to sleep, the circadian rhythms notice that there is less and less light exposure on our skin. And as a result, it starts to release melatonin. And as it gets darker and darker and darker, melatonin continues to build up. And at some point, maybe an hour and a half to 2 hours after the sun's gone all the way down, melatonin has built up so much that we are tired and we go to sleep. And then once we fall asleep, we go through those cycles. And then once we've finished that fourth or fifth one that we need, we're supposed to wake up naturally. This is in an ideal environment. So if we, you know, put you 2 miles off the coastline here where you couldn't get a cell phone, you didn't have electricity, and, you know, you couldn't see, you were just out there on a boat, that would be an ideal situation to be in when it comes to sleep, because you don't have a clock, but you're exposed to the sun, and as soon as the sun goes down, your body's going to do these things here to let you go to sleep. But as soon as we get into our normal living environment, we don't let that happen. It's middle of the summer, sun goes down 9 or 9:30, something like that. We're in the house, and what are we doing when it's dark outside? We've got lights on. We're watching TV. Maybe we're on the phone or our iPad. Any of these kinds of things. And the lights above, the lights from a TV and the lights from a phone and any kind of electrical devices, whether it be a computer or your cell phone or tablet or whatever, all of these things trick our brain into thinking that the sun is still up. And so our body gets confused. That circadian rhythm it's confusing that whole system because it thinks it's supposed to be dark outside because the sun went down a while ago, but it sees sunlight coming in the form of television, overhead lights, cell phone, and these kinds of things. And so we get into this struggle of trying to release melatonin and get it built up so that it can make us tired and fall asleep, or suppress the release of melatonin because we're getting exposed to all these lights. And so our body is struggling with this. And when we, you know, a lot of times we're tired anyway, and we confuse being sleepy and tired, and instead of viewing that as a signal to go to bed, we think we should go get a snack, right? Right, and then we're sitting there eating some kind of nasty food, and we're dozing off in front of the couch, and then when we wake up in the morning, we wonder why we're not very well rested. And the problem is, if we go back a couple of slides, and when we do this, we start behind the eight ball, and I've got a larger one of these. Here, it's on the next one. So when we do that, we end up with a sleep. Our first few sleep cycles are like those on the left. Because we're snacking, because we're under the lights, maybe watching TV or whatever, When we do fall asleep, the first couple of cycles are not only 50% light sleep, they're like 70 or 75% light sleep. So we're missing out and squishing or limiting the length of time we're spending in deep sleep when we first fall asleep at night because of these things that we're doing. And then we try to catch up all night long, and then the alarm clock goes off, or we're so conditioned at getting up at 5 or 5:30 that we get up anyway. And we're still tired throughout the day. Or when the sun goes down, we need to recognize that and not expose ourselves to a bunch of light so that melatonin can go out and do its thing. Make us tired and allow us to go to sleep and repair our body and prepare it for the next day. And so, you know, the top row of cycles there is kind of what we're living through. And, you know, we get up and, you know, not even the hot shower will wake us up. We don't want to take a cold shower, that's for sure. So we need coffee and other things to kind of get us up and get us going. And, you know, maybe we eat breakfast, maybe we don't, but, you know, by 10 o'clock, we're tired and hungry usually, and we're struggling. And we're primarily struggling because we're not sleeping. And it's primarily that we're sleeping or not sleeping and feeling bad is because of the things that we do in the last couple of hours before we go to bed. So if we could all sleep like our dogs, we'd be much better. Before I get into how we fix this problem, I want to give you a few statistics and a little bit of information. Sleep deprivation is associated with every condition you can imagine. Right up here is a handful of those conditions. So if you have depression, diabetes, high blood pressure, cancer, any kind of thing you can think of, associated with that is a lack of sleep. And here's a more comprehensive list, but by no means is it exhaustive. So sleep is important not only to your own kind of psychological well-being, to feel like you've got extra energy. It's really important to your overall health. Just a few of the things that are associated with a lack of sleep. Talk about a few statistics that come from the Centers for Disease Control and the National Institute of Health. And the first one here is the actual number is 46%, but it's close enough to 50 to use 50 for discussion purposes. But half of the adults at any one point in time that you encounter are sleep deprived. However many people are in here, cut that in half, and one of those groups or that number of people within this room is sleep deprived at any one point in time. That's a pretty rough statistic, especially when it's associated with so many health conditions. 40% accidentally fall asleep when they were intending to stay awake. I'm sure that's been nobody in this room. But you're trying to stay awake and you fall asleep. It's an indication that you're not sleeping well enough at night. Now this third one, it may be the most disturbing one of all. 6% of adults in the last 2 weeks have reported that they've accidentally fallen asleep while driving. That's pretty rough, especially in a big metropolitan area like Houston, when, you know, a lot of rush hour accidents because of people, and it causes major traffic problems. Most of those are associated not with bad drivers, but because people are tired and probably fall asleep. If you think about it, the probably the busiest intersection in Houston at 5:15 on a Wednesday afternoon is Westheimer and 610. Right? There's probably, 1,000 cars at that intersection in any one 10-minute period of time. And 6% would be 60 cars. So 60 people have fallen asleep within the last 2 weeks driving in that mess of cars. And so it's no wonder when you get that volume of people and the sleep deprivation being as widespread as it is, that traffic is a major problem. So hopefully that won't be the case with you guys anymore, especially after today. And so why are we sleep deprived? Why do all these statistics exist? Mainly because we're doing things that impede our ability to fall asleep and get a good night's sleep, but we're doing them because we don't know that they're causing us harm. It's kind of like in the, I don't know when it was, late 60s, early 70s, when you used to could smoke on an airplane. Some of you guys remember that? Well, they allowed that before they knew how harmful it was. So now we're doing things that, you know, we just don't think they're harmful, but they actually are. And so we've just got some things that we need to fix. And thankfully, they're pretty easy to fix. And just as a sidebar, I don't know how many of you total employees are with American National? So 1,500 between here and South Shore. If we can have that math genius that told us halfway between 6 and 10, if we can have someone multiply 1,500 times 50, what is that, 75,000? What's that? 4,850 times 15, or 1,500? Yeah. So then if you multiply that by 12, that's what your company between Galveston and South Shore Harbor is losing every year due to sleep deprivation. That's a lot of money. In terms of health, productivity, attendance, all those kinds of things, because we're tired. Okay, so enough of the doom and gloom. Let's get on to some better things. And the first thing that's better is, how are we going to fix it? Well, like I said earlier, it's pretty easy once you realize what you're doing is causing some problems to just stop doing those things. But I'm going to give you some more specific examples coming up. First thing on the left here, it says go to bed earlier. I've been teaching this in our program. With the Health Performance Institute, what we do is we work with companies and implement this program called the Academy that helps their employees get off medications or prevent diagnoses for things like diabetes, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol. In those programs, we have a whole module on sleep. And so we've been doing this 12 or 13 years now, and almost no one needs to go to bed earlier to get better sleep. They can still go to bed at the same time if they change those things that they're doing that are adversely affecting their sleep. So if they just change those things, go to bed at the same time, they're going to feel better and get more rest. We always hear that we need to have a good bedtime routine when we go to bed. Well, if your bedtime routine involves dozing off in front of the couch while you're eating on some kind of snack, that's probably not a good bedtime routine. So if you have a conducive to sleep bedtime routine, then yes, you need to follow that. But if it's not helping you, then, you know, you don't need to follow that routine. And then talk about the recommendations, and that's what we're going to do next. So our recommendations are based on lights, temperature, sound, and relax. And we'll get specifically into each of these. And then we'll talk about what you can do for exercise and then while you're at work so that you can sleep better at night. Now, what can you do in terms of lights? Like we mentioned earlier, lights trick our brain into thinking that the sun is still up. So in the last hour, preferably hour and a half, you want to start decreasing your exposure to lights. That means, importantly, to cut off the TV. There's really nothing good on TV anyway. Stop watching the news, all that stuff. But what the lights do is, like we said earlier, they suppress melatonin. And it doesn't matter if it's an overhead light or a TV or whatever, those bright lights, when they hit you in the face, it makes your brain think that the sun is still up. And in response, it's going to try to suppress melatonin production. So what do you want to do? Is you want to turn off softer lights or turn on softer lights so that you can still see and it's not completely dark. But you don't want the super bright things on, being exposed to your skin. And so you want to start doing this. Now, up here is a link to a program called Just Get Flux. It's actually FLUX. And it's a free program that installs in the background of your computer. This is a PC version, so if you have a Mac, I'm not sure if it's available for the Mac. But basically what it does is once you enter in your location, it turns off the brightest lights that come from your computer monitor once the sun goes down. And then in the morning when the sun comes up or when it's sunrise, it turns them back on. This is just all done automatically. So that if you have to work on your computer, this would be a viable option for you. And this is completely free. You don't have to pay for it, or you don't have to sign up for it. You don't have to give them your email address or anything like that. It's a free piece of software. So the first thing we want to do is decrease our exposure to lights, because the lights trick our brain into thinking that the sun is still up. And if we want to sleep better, we've got to let our brain think it's still dark outside. The next thing we want to do is lower the temperature in our bedroom where we're sleeping at least 2 to 3 degrees. And why do we want to do this? Well, if you remember, we had the sleep cycles up on the screen a few slides ago, and I said that the blue part of each cycle was the REM sleep, and it was also the most important part of our sleep. And the reason I said that, and what's going on there, is while we're sleeping, whether it's a light, deep, or the really deep sleep cycles, while we're sleeping, our metabolism is cranked up a little bit. And one of the byproducts of an increased metabolism is heat production. Well, as our sleep gets deeper, our metabolism kicks up. So when we're in REM sleep, our metabolism is really working hard. Since one of the byproducts of an increased metabolism is heat production, we want to reduce the temperature in a room where we're sleeping so we stay cooler and not make it more likely that we're going to wake up in a sweat. And so we can stay asleep. And by the way, if you remember those cycles, when we finish the REM part of a cycle, we end up immediately into a light portion of the sleep cycle. You guys remember that? That's perfect the way that works, because one of the ways our body deals with heat production is by putting water into our bladder. And after we go through two or three of these cycles, our bladder is going to fill up. So when we end up back in a light sleep, that's when we typically wake up to go to the restroom in the middle of the night. That's totally normal. And something else that's normal and you don't have to worry about is this idea that you've got to fall asleep and stay asleep. Waking up in the middle of the night, whether it be to go to the restroom or just to be awake for 20 or 30 minutes, is totally normal. So the worst thing you can do is stress yourself out about not being able to fall back asleep, because then you're really going to struggle to fall back asleep. But if you wake up in the middle of the night because you went to the restroom or because you're just awake, that's a totally normal thing. If you just tell yourself that, eventually, in the next few minutes, you're going to fall back asleep. So this idea that you have to fall asleep and stay asleep all night is not true. All right, so that's the second one, reduce the temperature in our bedrooms. This is an easy one because of where we are, you know, right here next to the Gulf. But we want to turn our brain off and turn off the rhythms of our brain. And the best way to do that while we're sleeping is with sound. And one of the best natural ways that you can do that is by listening to waves of the ocean. So if you live close enough to hear the Gulf at night, it's perfect for relaxing your brain. If you're not close enough, or if you live in Houston like I do, then you can get a box fan, or you can get any of these white noise making machines that are helpful for that as well. And sounds from your TV, that obviously shouldn't count as the noise you want to hear. Hopefully that's understood by now. But then you want to turn your brain off as well by leaving work at work. I know it's hard to do those kinds of things because we think that we've got to, you know, respond to this text message or this email or this phone call today or before we go to bed or in the next 5 minutes. But those things are still going to be there tomorrow. And one of the modules that we have is a stress module, in the program. And one of the things that we tell people all the time is, regardless of how important you think this is, it's not as bad as you think it is. So, yeah, certainly there's things and times when we need to respond right away, but we often view things in much worse light than what they actually are. And so if we can realize that and calm ourselves down, that will help with a bunch of things as it relates to sleep in terms of both our stress levels and our blood sugar levels, which will help with melatonin production and melatonin metabolism. And some other things that you can do are listed here. Yoga, meditation. Patrick said you guys have got yoga classes upstairs. Those are great. It doesn't even have to be a full-fledged yoga session. It could be something as simple as sitting on the floor and stretching out the big muscles of your body for 10 or 15 minutes, nice and slow and relaxing. That can be enough to help you relax. Now, if you're going to work out, and if you are working out as part of your program here, depending on what time you go to bed, you may not want to, particularly if you're struggling with sleep, you may not want to work out after work. You may want to do it in the morning or at lunchtime or something like that. If you're struggling to sleep, the best thing you can do is to take a walk. Whether that's in the building here throughout the day, but if it's in the evening, taking a walk in the evening, because walking will help control blood sugar, and blood sugar, elevated blood sugar, is a major problem when it comes to sleep, because it's also a major problem when we're stressed out. So taking a walk will always reduce our blood sugar, which allows our body to produce melatonin and allows melatonin to do its job. You probably, though, don't want to go to the gym. I don't know about the fitness center upstairs here, but any other fitness center I've been in throughout my life is full of mirrors, full of bright lights, and full of loud music. And if you got to go to bed at 10 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the gym is a very stimulant-rich environment with all the music, and then the light bouncing off the mirrors and all that kind of stuff. Not to mention that a super hard workout will often result in an elevated blood sugar, which could be problematic for getting to sleep. And then when you're here at work, if you haven't heard this, maybe take the 10-60 challenge. And the 10-60 challenge is for every 60 minutes that you sit at the desk, make sure you stand for 10 of those minutes. Rearrange your tasks and things that you're doing so that while you're standing in your office that there are things you can do. You can make a phone call while you're standing. You can probably read an email while you're standing, or maybe walk down the hall to go see somebody instead of calling them or getting on the elevator to go talk to them. And the reason you want to do this is standing is hard work for your body. Not hard work, it's harder than sitting. All right, and so that extra work on your metabolism over the course of a day is going to be helpful for getting you in that first light portion of the sleep cycle so that you can start off the whole night's sleep on the best foot, so to speak. So if you do all these things, you'll be the happy little yellow sunlight person in the middle of all the sad and tired and sleepy people. And I talked about the academy. You can enroll if you want at a discounted rate. If you want to, Patrick's got this. He can email it to you, or you can write down the URL here. We've got options for individuals that can be completely on their own, or they can get health coaching with us. And it's the healthperformanceinstitute.com/lucky, which means it's your lucky day. You get to sign in our program. You can contact us here through any of these methods, online, social media, me personally, or our info at the Health Performance Institute, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. I'm easy to find. And then hopefully you'll be sleeping like your pet dog. You guys, does anyone have any questions as I finish up here? Think this is easy to do? These are some easy things you can implement. You start doing these things tonight. you'll start sleeping better tonight. Yes, ma'am.
Could you repeat what the reduced blood sugar and the melatonin?
Could I repeat blood sugar and melatonin?
Yeah, what the reduced blood sugar does when you walk at night.
Yeah, so she asked if I could repeat what I said about what walking and why walking is helpful for blood sugar and helps you sleep better. You know, I made a few references to, you know, snacking in front of the TV. And when we snack in front of the TV at night, we're not eating, you know, a boiled egg. We're typically eating something that's going to raise our blood sugar, which is going to make the problem worse. So elevated blood sugar hampers our body's ability to metabolize melatonin, which means whatever melatonin is there isn't going to be metabolized to work like it should or to work like it could. And so if we're eating a snack that's raising our blood sugar and we're watching TV that's limiting our melatonin production, we're kind of really getting a double whammy of negativity on our sleep there. But if we go for a walk, walking 30 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour, that will lower your blood sugar and allow your body to metabolize the melatonin, which will help you sleep better. Did that answer your question? Any more questions? That was a good question. And if you're embarrassed and you don't want to ask a question in front of everybody, you're welcome to come up here afterwards and ask me a question, one-on-one. Happy to do that. Anything else, Patrick?
All right. Thank you, Brian. And if you have sign-in sheets, bring them up to me. If you have to sign in, make sure you sign in.
Thank you, everybody.
All right.